It's night of service, our final sermon, our final instruction and guidance really from this day for this new year. And it's interesting when you hear the readings there from the Messianic writings from the letter of the Hebrews connects in with really what I was saying this morning, that ultimately if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Here we have a commandment there where the high priest himself has to make sure that he's also cleansed from his own sins before he can even go into the Holy of Holies to stand in the gap, as it were, for our sins. A perpetual statute it is that Israel appear before God on Yom Kippur for the sake of all our sins. Did you hear that in the reading? For the sake of all our sins. That is a commandment of Adonai. And if we stand in Israel and say, but Lord, I've kept all of your commandments, then the theoretical reality is you need not appear before God on Yom Kippur. There never has there been a single Jew who has not appeared before God on Yom Kippur, because to do so would be to sin, because we're commanded to appear. How do we understand this strange tension once more? The answer is quite simple. There is not one of us who has not sinned, and we deceive ourselves if we say that we have. This is the reality that we face, but it's a reality, the answer to which is in the Torah itself, if we have eyes and ears to hear and understand what the reality is. God always makes a way, and he warns us and shows us and tells us. He lights up the wrong way, as it were, so we would know what the core message and the reality is. As we are brought to our knees before him to beg him, to ask him for his forgiveness, that he would find a way to restore us and provide the solution for our sins. And here is one of those passages when the Lord speaks to us. This is from the prophet of Ezekiel in 36, and picking up from verse 24, he says this: I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, says the Lord. He will. He has promised to do it. And he goes on to say what else he will do. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. It's an awesome promise that we have from our God. It would make no sense if we were able to actually be so sin-free that we weren't filthy in the first place. A passage like this would make no sense whatsoever. He's promising to address the situation which drives us relentlessly to rebel against him, that he will do this. Our sins, which have driven us out of the land both times, twice in diaspora, will finally be dealt with. And he will wash us clean. I find it interesting again, he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. The sprinkling, as we talked about a few weeks back in the Messianic lifestyle course, because of the lack of water in Israel, the sprinkling standing for the full immersion that he would do. He will wash us clean. He will immerse us. And in fact, he then goes on to say this immersion, so important is it, that he will immerse, as it were, ourselves not only in the water that will cleanse us, that immersion needs to be in him, and he will do it. Yeshua goes on to illustrate this in Acts, at the very beginning here, he says, this is from Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And he says this: "For Jochanan truly immersed with water, but you shall be immersed with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, not many days from now." He will immerse us. This is not just a sprinkling with water, a promise that water is going to cleanse us. He says there's more coming, that in fact this immersion in its complete form will also mean that we need to be immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh, the waters of the Spirit, as it were. He repeats this in Matthew chapter 3 as well. We need to be immersed in our God. This is an immersion only He can do. Not just the waters. There's something more has to go on here. The waters of the Ruach, of the Spirit, will finally deal with our sins. And not only that, but according to Ezekiel, it is more strong than that. He will empower us to walk a holy life in Him. "I will cause you to walk in my statutes," says Adonai. Incredible thing. In all of our dire situation, as we battle with the sins of our lives, is that we discover that our God does it all. It's that incredible thing. It's not so that we just sit back and do nothing, but He truly has made a way. We're used to thinking of it that God sends His Son to us. Even while we were still sinners, He sent Him to die for us. But it's way more than that. He's dealt with the very spiritual inclination of rebellion in us. He says, "I will deal with this, and then I will empower you in my Spirit." As we are immersed in that Spirit, He will empower in us the holy life and walk in Him. We can now obey. Do you get the enormity of this? If we deceived ourselves before by thinking that we had no sin, now we can stand strong in Him, immersed in His Spirit. Now we have the power to walk an obedient life. We do not need to sin anymore. If you ever thought this message was radical, it doesn't get much more radical than this. That old man, that old creation is gone, he's dead, he's buried. As it says there, and immersed and buried in Messiah, he's got rid of, he's gone. That new creation that we are now in Yeshua means now in our resurrected, as it were, bodies, living that eternal life in us now, forgiven, now means that we walk in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. We do not need to sin anymore. There's been a complete character change that's gone on. Before, we were sinners that occasionally might just about have done a good thing. Now, as a character change in Adonai, we are people who've been redeemed. We are, as it were, good people who occasionally will sin. But hopefully, that gets less and less and less. Something powerful has happened in us. A transformation from what we were before to the new us, the new man that is now alive and living in the Spirit through Yeshua Mashiachinu. He can do this for us. And where do you think this idea of this immersion comes from in the Ruach? You might think that Yeshua just came up with it, he invented it. He did not. It is way more profound than that. He draws upon a theme that we find for ourselves in the scriptures, and in fact comes from Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said this. You may not hear this the first time round because we struggle with the translations of this, or the English struggles with the translations of this, but here we go. This is from Jeremiah and 14. "O Lord, through our iniquities, though our iniquities testify against us, do this for your name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against you." And he calls out, "O the hope of Israel, his Saviour in time of trouble." the hope of Israel. We have sinned, for you are our hope. You are our Saviour of Israel. But you might wonder when you hear the English how this immediately connects with the immersion that Yeshua talks about, but it does. For you Hebrew experts here, you will have spotted the link immediately. This is why we need to be speaking and learning Hebrew. For the Hebrew actually says this: Adonai is our mikvah. Our mikvah is our Adonai, O Lord, the Saviour of Israel. That is what the Hebrew says. Adonai is our mikvah. Adonai is our immersion. So why did the translators translate it as hope of Israel? You might ask yourself, it's a good question. Because surely you might think hope has nothing to do with an immersion on one level, but maybe on another level it does. Again, you have to look at the Hebrew. Because our word, the root form sharing the same concept of hope, is the present tense verbal form. Mikvah also means hope. Mikvah also means our immersion. In Hebrew, these are the same word. Because the root in Hebrew, the consonant root, is the same. It's weird though, in one way, that the English translators chose to translate this, O God, the hope of Israel, whereas the Hebrew stays as it is, our God, the immersion of Israel. On one level, I think the immersion of Israel is probably a closer option, because we see that Yeshua picks this as he talks about this. They will come, there will be an immersion in the Ruach HaKodesh. And don't think this is something separate from God. God is Spirit. His Spirit is Him. He is God. In other words, what Yeshua is saying is we need to be immersed into our God. Which is exactly what Jeremiah says we need. He is our hope, our immersion. And if we are immersed in our God, something powerful happens to us. Because as we come out of the waters, what are we? We are a new creation, as it were, risen from the dead. The waters representing the earth that we are buried in our immersion, and risen from the dead as we come crashing out of those waters like a new butterfly, completely changed and transformed. He's not only our immersion as he's immersing in water and in spirit, but now we become a new creation as well. He's our hope. The hope as we go into those waters is that God is going to do that transformational act upon us. Hope and immersion. Hebrew has both of these meanings. Adonai is our mikvah. We need to be immersed into Him. We could translate it as follows: O mikvah of Israel, Adonai our salvation in times of our trouble. He is our hope, our immersion that guarantees that He will come through. The immersion, let's not forget, connected with that renewed covenant through Yeshua's death and resurrection. We can truly be born again. Our God is our hope. Our God is our immersion. Our deepest cry to be set free from every sin that besets us, everything which traps us. Who am I trapped in this mortal coil? Who will set me free, says Shaul? Who will liberate me from this mortal coil which seems forever to trap me and trip me up and bring me back to sin again? And the answer rests in the mikvah. Immersed in water, immersed in Him, in our God, in His Spirit, that we are completely renewed. Forgiveness is sure, our atonement complete. Our ultimate hope for the future begins as we immerse ourselves and come out of those waters, and not only waters, but immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh also. But there's something else more powerful here, which as Ezekiel mentions, is also linked to this core concept and idea. As he says here, our backslidings are many. Lord, bring us back. Ezekiel talks about this. He says at the very beginning of that passage there, he says that I will gather you, collect you from the four corners where you are dispersed amongst the nations. I will bring you back. Because one of the other hints in this Hebrew word, the secondary meaning of immersion in this way of mikvah, the root meaning is to gather or to collect into one place. It's why the mikvah was called this, because the collection of water into one place is a mikvah. The collecting or the gathering of the water. So discover that not only is he our hope, our redemption, not only does that release us to be filled with him, immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh, it also becomes the mikvah or the gathering or the collecting of our people, the promises he will return us once more to the land. Our hope is about being gathered together in him, collected from throughout the world and brought back to him, all in this one single word, mikvah. Our hope, Israel's hope, is an ingathering, a being born again, a washing clean, and our sins forgiven. He is our hope. Putting it another way from last night, we come home in him. He gathers us. He immerses us. He cleanses us from our sins. And thereby, he becomes our eternal hope, the hope of Israel. And the important point at the end of all of this, as we now stand at the end of Yom Kippur, when we have faced God with our sins once more and acknowledged we are found wanting, we must never, ever give up hope. God is our hope. I want to encourage you, even if you face Yom Kippur with the knowledge in the back of your head that you're battling with things in your life which still seem to cause problems for you, I want to say to you right now at the end of all of this, never stop hoping. Never give up. God is releasing you. Because in him our hope is well founded. Our hope is sure. Our forgiveness is real and sincere. And so Adonai is and becomes the hope of Israel and thus the world. And as we've been hearing just a moment ago in our study of Yonah, Yeshua ta la Adonai. Our God is Yeshua. Our God is salvation. Never think that he is anything other than any of this. When the enemy whispers in your ear, Adonai is your hope. He is the key to your future. You will be released. You will be set free. Never give up. Never think it's over. Keep going, because Adonai is always faithful. Hope in him. Amen.